You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.
Hello everyone and welcome back to another instalment of Ravens Weekly, brought to you by myself, Matt Hall, and my co-host, Josh Tindall. Josh, how are we doing this week?
Yeah, good.
It's been a busy week, hasn't it? We're going to get on to more about that in a few minutes. But let's start in chronological order, if you like, and we'll start with the visit of Notts County last Saturday, Josh, where we had a very healthy crowd at Hayes Lane, and it's fair to say a good game of football.
Yeah, it was good. I think we matched Notts County, and I think a few people were sort of a bit worried going into the game, but I thought we played well.
I thought we played really, really well. And you look at the way the game went, just for those of you that, well, I'm sure pretty much everyone, if not everyone listening to this podcast, saw the game or has seen the highlights, of course. It was an entertaining opening 20 minutes. Adam Marriott with a saved penalty, then dusting himself down, stepping up for the second time in the space of 5 or 6 minutes, taking another one and scoring it. And then Bromley, I think it's fair to say everyone agrees, should have had a third penalty, and the goalkeeper, Tynan Brooks, should have been given his marching orders.
Yeah, definitely. I think credit to Mazza for stepping up to take the second one. I mean, It's his type of personality. He's not going to hand it over to someone else after missing a penalty. But yeah, I think definitely should have been given a third one. But yeah, is what it is.
C'est la vie, as they say.
And
the first half, Bromley very much in control. The second half, lots of pressure from Notts County. Bromley players putting their bodies on the line and actually really defending and organising themselves so well throughout. And it wasn't until the 93rd minute, Josh, that Notts County pulled it level. What can you say?
I know.
That sums it up, I think.
Yeah.
That sums up the emotion.
But the thing is, and I know Andy said it after the game, going into the game, we would have taken a draw. But it's just 100%. how it happened.
It's the manner, isn't it?
Yeah. And obviously it had to be him that scored it.
Macaulay Langstaff, yes, with, I've lost count of how many goals, 34, 35 this season. It's absolutely mental. Incredible player. But he was kept quiet for a majority of the game, and that was really, you know, one of his only chances, and he buried it well. It was a one-on-one with Reece Charles-Cook, and he finished it well. But, of course, it ended in a point for Bromley, which means that Notts County's not brilliant record against Bromley carries on, and their winless record at Hayes Lane carries on as well. And, of course, it means we're also unbeaten against them this season, Josh, which is something to be proud of.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look how well they've done, and to not lose against them previously as well with whilst Andy Woodman's been in charge, I think it's brilliant. Brilliant record.
Absolutely fantastic. And for those of you that haven't seen, do head over to our YouTube channel, Bromley FC, and you can watch the highlights and catch up on all the action there. Josh, just before we move on to Tuesday's visit of York City, you've got some good news to bring us from the Youth Academy.
Yeah, well, the coach has sent me over all of the results and the summaries and the standout players after every game on the Saturday, and we put out sort of like a youth academy update on a Monday afternoon. Obviously with the game on Tuesday night, went out a bit later this week. But one of the results that stood out, the under 12 boys were 4-0 down against South Park. They won 5-4.
Incredible.
It's unbelievable.
Elite mentality right there.
It is.
That is incredible. Well done to that team. That is really, I'm sure the manager was buzzing at the end of it. Yeah. What a turnaround that
is. Well, actually, so one of our community coaches, Alex Caroma, apparently he's one of the coaches for the under 12s.
He is one of the
They
coaches.
Were 4-0 down. He was doing Saturday morning soccer school. They were 4-0 down. He arrived, took his position on the touchline. Apparently 5-4.
They'll be calling him Alex Guardiola soon.
I know.
Honestly, congratulations.
I mean, he's only said that about 10 times this week.
So that's why you're forced to put it into the podcast. I bet he's listening in. And
he is, yeah.
All right, Alex, you've got your moment in the sun, mate. There we go. What a fantastic result. And moving on a little bit, it was, of course, the visit of York City on Tuesday. Result aside, we won't talk about that too much. We'll briefly summarise the game in a minute. A lot more around that day, wasn't there, than it was perhaps would happen on a normal match day.
Yeah, it was brilliant. We had International Women's Day. Obviously, that was on Wednesday, but we've been celebrating it the whole week. And Tuesday, we sort of used that game against York as sort of the standout day to promote it. And I know Andrea Ellis, who we caught up with a bit later, she sort of fronted it all. And I thought it was a success. It was nice to see the lap of appreciation at half time, and I thought it was good.
Well, it really, really was brilliant to see, and a fantastic number of community participants from our women and girls provisions, women and girls youth teams, and Bromley Bells, and everything like that. And actually, the Bromley women as well.
Yeah, they stayed for the game.
They did.
The Bromley women, and they were sort of sat in front of the press box, and it was good to see them at the game.
Well, we're gonna catch up with Andrea in a moment, but unfortunately, it wasn't a classic as far as the football itself went. Unfortunately, unless you're a York City fan, of course, Bromley losing out by 3-0 in the end. A bit of a bizarre incident at the end of the first half, Josh. Really, to blame for the defeat.
Yeah, I mean, it took us all by surprise, I think. I mean, from where I was sat, it looked like a red card, so don't really have any complaints about that, but
no.
it's sad because it's like
we
praised Cookie every single week, and like as he was coming off, he was clapping the fans were clapping him, and he's been so good for us this season, and it was sad to see.
Well, of course, man of the match against Notts County. Unfortunately, these things happened in football. It was a red card. We can't argue with that, and we miss Cookie for one game. What a brilliant goalkeeper he is, and what a signing he's turned out to be this season. And I think he's proved his point and proved actually how good of a goalkeeper he is. So we look forward to seeing him back in the squad very soon. But anyway, away from the result and the disappointing nature of that game, we're joined by Andrea.
Andrea, why is International Women's Day important?
I think it's a really important time to actually appreciate what women and girls are doing, not just in sport, but across a whole wide spectrum. It's an opportunity for us to celebrate those women and to empower future women, to sort of highlight the role models that are out there that are breaking down barriers and are, really trying to go against the stereotypical image that we have in lots of different aspects of society. So it's a really good time for us to bring important stories forward and show people that, women have an equal place. We've still got a lot of work to do, but about how positive that is.
And as a club, we've been celebrating International Women's Day this week. Could you just give a brief summary of what the club has been doing this week?
Yeah, we've been really, really lucky that we've pretty much had something going on every day, actually. And we started off the week with free football for all girls. That still carries on up until Saturday. So that means that any girls that haven't played or do play can come along and try football for free. They just need to book online. We had our big event on Tuesday night. So we welcomed all of our youth teams, our girls community participants, our recreational team, Bromley Bells, and our Bromley women, as well as some of our coaches, to come along to our dedicated game on Tuesday night. We played York City, but before that we all met for some food and some sort of general meeting with each other, sharing our experiences, which was really lovely to see. And then we saw the players line up, warm up rather, in their Her Game 2 t-shirts, which is fantastic. It was a lovely picture of Cheeky pointing to Her Game 2 on his t-shirt, which was great. We had our girls that had played in the tournament earlier on in the day from across Bromley schools. They were our flag bearers, as long as our community participants, so really visible there. And during halftime, we had a lap of appreciation where everyone joined us to go around the pitch which was really, really fantastic. So really good opportunity for everyone in the club to see what big part women and girls play. On Wednesday, which was actually International Women's Day, we were really fortunate to announce our new partnership with Biggin Hill Airport. They are supporting us and being our lead partner in our women and girls community provision. So a really, really exciting announcement there, because we have a lot of links with Biggin Hill Airport in the sense that both aviation and football have been quite male dominated in the past. So we have a lot of crossover with them about how we look to encourage more female participation in both those areas. So really, really good to be working with Biggin Hill Airport. I'm really excited about that. And Wednesday was also Let Girls Play Day. So we actually went to a local primary school and we ran free PE lessons based on football for over 170 girls, which was excellent. Really, really enjoyed it. Lovely to see their enthusiasm. Some of them had never played football and some of them had played football before, or they played and stopped going. So some really, really positive things from there. So yeah, real jam-packed week for International Women's Day.
And it doesn't stop there though. What have we got to look forward to?
Yeah, it doesn't stop there. As I was saying, we've got three different girls' provisions tomorrow. So everyone is welcome to come along and you'll be able to book online for that. So that's free football. And then on Sunday, we have a really, really busy day. So we've got the women's team are taking on Eastbourne United at 3 o'clock. So there's free admission to the ground then. And a big shout out, if anyone would like to be either a mascot or a flag bearer, if they can contact us at community@bromleyfc.co.uk, give us a shout out and we'd love to have you along. So we've got that game going on. And again, just like the men's team on Tuesday night, they'll be warming up in the Her Game 2 t-shirts. We've also got, following that at 5 o'clock, a recreational festival where we've invited over 100 women to come along and play on the stadium pitch. That runs from 5 till 8 o'clock. So that's obviously an opportunity for women over the age of 30 to come and play recreational football and celebrate International Women's Day.
And what are your objectives for the future?
So, yeah, so it's great that we've had this week, but as we know, we've still got a lot of work to do. And we'll continue working with the objectives that we highlighted in the strategy, the Women and Girls Strategy that we published last summer. And those were that we want to encourage football for all. So it doesn't matter whether or not you want to play competitively or recreationally, then you'll get an opportunity at the club, either within the club, the youth system, the academy, or within our community activities to take a part in football. So that's our first aim. Want to make sure that everyone has that access. And we've also looking to continue with our work on developing coaches. So we've seen a few female coaches coming through and we want that to grow. So women have got amazing skill set, absolutely ideal for coaching football. So we'll be looking at making having workshops and setting up a program, a mentoring program in the future to support women who are interested in becoming coaches. And then we will also be looking at how we continue our work engaging with the local community. So that would be with other third sector organisations, like maybe the council or schools or health organisations. So looking to use the power of football to improve our local community and to, you know, really support people's mental and physical well-being.
Josh, with no first team fixture this weekend, it seemed the ideal opportunity to catch up with a couple of people from behind the scenes from the office team. Who have we got?
Yeah, so I spoke to a commercial assistant, Max Mooner, earlier. He's recently joined us, I think, just before New Year. So he's sort of helping out with the sponsorship partnership side of the club, and also Max Stanton Gleaves, who is has got a big involvement in Broomfields and the club shop, and he was buzzing to be on, to be fair. I know Max has mentioned being on before, so it was, well, both of them, to be fair, they were really up for it. So it was an enjoyable afternoon, and yeah, here's what they had to say. Max Mooner, describe your job title at Bromley FC.
So at the moment, I'm currently working alongside Mick Livesey and Emma Santa. So I'm in the partnership and sponsorship assistant.
And what is your background?
So at the moment, I'm currently studying at University of Bath, sports management and coaching. So I'm doing this role as part of my placement scheme. So after this, I've got one more year of university starting September. I am, it's hard to say, but I am a rugby man through and through normally. And my main team is Crystal Palace, but obviously since being through Bromley, my love is growing massively for this club.
And how would you describe your day-to-day routine?
So day-to-day, my job is looking after our sponsors' accounts, basically. So anything to do with fulfilling their contracts. So putting up boards, press releases, and really just involving our sponsors more within the club. We hold obviously a number of events and things, so my job is to communicate that to our sponsors, get them signed up, let them know what's going on.
You mentioned being part of a new team. How are you finding the environment at Bromley?
Yeah, really good. So like I mentioned, it's myself, Mick and Emma in the partnerships and sponsorship department. And it is really good, really fun. I'm learning a lot, so much off Mick and Emma and all their experience. But the dynamics are working really well and get along with everyone in the office, which is a massive plus.
And are there any events coming up for our sponsors?
Actually, the 6th of April, we are holding our new and improved Corporate Cup football tournament. So those of you who were sponsors last year and attended our football tournament back in October, I believe it was, we had 10 teams competing in a football tournament. They were all current sponsors of Bromley Football Club. This year, it's new and improved. This year, we're having more sponsors and we're going outside to the Bromley community and the businesses around the area to get involved, join us. It'll be a day. We've got family zones. So Bear Island, so those of you who know the club, that will become our family zone. We drinks available, bars, Broomfield entertainment after, and then obviously a whole day of football. So we're hoping to have around 16 teams.
And can people still get involved in that?
Yeah, definitely. Head over to our website, on our website, the sign up page. So let us know, sign up your company. I'll get in contact with you as soon as possible, and you can join us in our new improved tournament.
And if anyone's got any questions, how can they contact you?
Everyone can email me at max.mooner, which is spelled M-O-U-N-A, at bromleyfc.co.uk.
And on the commercial side of things, what is the plan for the future?
So I think as the partnership and sponsorships team, we're obviously ultimately trying to push us to get to the EFL. And you know, we need the big names and the sponsors to get involved in that. We're looking to maximise our relationships always. We like to build on it. We see what works, what doesn't work, and we go from there, really. And obviously we're always looking for new opportunities for our current sponsors and new sponsors. We're always, it's more than just the normal sponsorship. We're here to promote you just as much as you're there to support us. That's the way we're moving forward.
Max Stanton-Gleaves, it is your debut on the podcast. How are you feeling?
Absolutely brilliant. Thank you for having me.
So, for those who don't know, what is your role at Bromley FC?
Bar and retail manager.
Moving on to Broomfields, what have we got coming up?
Oh, loads. Absolutely loads. I cannot wait for it, to be honest. We got a week. In a week's time, we've got St. Patrick's Day, which is also linked with the Gold Cup Day of Cheltenham. And that would be a massive day, I think. So we're open all day, but from 12 o'clock the bar starts. We've got great offers, 2 Guinnesses for £8. We're going to do some Irish food as well. Our special chef Will in the kitchen, he's going to brim up some lovely food. And yeah, we're just going to have some more drink offers, maybe a few shots in there, get a few baby Guinnesses going. But no, it'd be, no, good day, seriously. Yeah, we've had a few sponsors already, looking forward to it and booking a few places. And yeah, I think it's the start of the events, which is going to lead on for the rest of the year, which is great. Then we got quiz night. So brand new quiz night, which is in partnership with our community trust. That will be at the last Thursday of every month. So it's the 30th of this month. Literally, it's being released today. So it'll be on our Broomfields' new universe page. So make sure to grab a ticket on that and enter your team. Best team name counts. Probably give you a free drink, not going to lie. Don't mind a few little cheeky ones. So we got that. Then we've got the Corporate Cup. Oh, I know Max has just mentioned a bit about it, but I'm looking forward to this.
For those who don't know, Max Mooner, who was on earlier, is sat with us.
Yes, he is. Corporate Cup, cannot wait. Back in October, the last one.
That's good.
Just saying, part of the winning team. First goal in the final, just saying.
He doesn't talk about it, though.
No, not at all. It's great fun. Honestly, great day. It's a bit of football. Who doesn't love a bit of football? Bit of tournament. You get the music going. You get the bars booming at the end of it.
Bigger and better, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to be so much better. I mean, it was almost a draft last time. It weren't. We could just do it better, 100%. The more the merrier, I say. And there's some good kits coming out of it as well. I mean, Shepherd Neame, they pulled out a really nice Bear Island kit, which, like, orange and blue, beautiful, absolutely beautiful.
Well, they had the shorts, the tops and everything.
Yeah, mate, they proper went for it. So, no, it'd be good. And I'll tell you what, it got exciting. Got loads more planned, and probably keep an eye on our socials because they'll be coming out very soon. Broomfields is picking up again. I think we've been through a bit of a journey in the last year, but we're going to make it better. We learned different things. I mean, we brought out a new menu. I think we've got it right there. I think we can always improve on stuff, but this new menu, that I can see some of the stuff on it. It looks lovely. I think we've got the right pricing for it as well, because obviously everything's getting quite expensive at the moment. And I think you get good value for your money as well. It's good quality food. And we're trying to, even behind the bar, we're trying to start doing cocktails, have better beer, listen to customers a bit more. We can always improve. We're never always going to get it right. But if we always keep improving, then that's a good thing. And I mean, 1st of April or 2nd of April will be a year on, like I said. So we've got a game net that day on the 1st. And I think we're going to have a little party in Broomfields after. And then we had, I know it's going backwards, but we had Bell's Bingo last night. They fully enjoyed themselves. It looked brilliant. We gave them a little area down under our restaurant bit. And no, that was really good. And so anyone who wants to look at not hiring or hiring a little area or booking a little area, then please email us or give us a call, because we can do that for you. And to all those that have already, it's really nice to get in touch and know that you're using us, if that makes sense. Yeah.
And we've also been doing our Being Back in Broomfields, our Tuesday Night Lives, and we've got one coming up on Tuesday.
Oh, they're brilliant. Great atmosphere. To all those fans that come down, come and watch it, it's a brilliant atmosphere. We've got it on all the screens, and it's a great quality as well. And they do put on a good show. It's been really, really good. And like I said, there's been a lot of fans coming down for it, which is really nice, and they enjoy the food. We enjoy the drinks offer. We try to change it up, but it seems to be going down quite well. We keep doing the 50% off drinks for an hour, and everyone seems to be enjoying that. Yeah, no, it's a good way to go and watch it if you can't go and watch it. For example, we've got Halifax next Tuesday on the 14th. It's a really hard trip to go up to there, and hopefully, fingers crossed, it is on. I know the weather's not looking too great up there. So that would be another great one for everyone to come down and see. And then on the 28th, we've got Maystone. So I know Maystone's a bit closer, but for all of those that don't want to go to Maystone, it's a good time to come down to Broomfield.
And like you say, you're heavily involved in the Jim Brown Club Shop as well. Have you got any updates for us?
We're looking to do more items, but with the season ending sooner, there's not much point in my mind to do it until kind of next season now, especially for the summer. We've still got caps there, and I do listen to people's feedback on what they would like to see in the shop. And I'm just waiting for other stuff to go so that I can replenish it, because we haven't got loads of space around here. I know it looks like it, but stuff takes a lot of stock space, so we need more cupboards, really. But and that also comes with Amy doing a lot of clearing up and especially on a match day, it's manic in there. And we've got two brilliant young'uns who were absolutely so hard on a match day because it's just, you've got so many people coming through it. And like I said before, we're always going to be trying to improve on things in general. I think we can definitely get numbers on certain sizes and hopefully get better delivery dates and organise it earlier so that they make sure they come in time. One thing that I noticed went down massively well, obviously they're going to, is the beanies. And quite annoyingly, didn't get enough of them, I don't think, because a lot of people are still requesting them after, but that's one thing to learn. But yeah, it's just, I always listen to people's feedback, even if it's a quick email to Club Shop. It's an easy email, clubshop@bromleyfc.co.uk. Anyone's suggestions really helps.
And I'm going to put you on the spot. What is your favourite item in the Club Shop?
Favourite item? Oh, that's a tough one. But I'd say I love the Bowie hoodie. It's comfy. It's really comfy, especially for now. I know it's freezing cold. But I'm quite one of those people that get quite hot. So that and a body warmer in the springtime, lovely. Really nice. Well, I do like my caps as well. That, oh, it's a tough one. Oh.
See, I told you, I'm putting you on the spot.
Yeah. It's the Bowie hoodie or the beige caps. We've got the beige B caps. If anyone don't
I'm going to have to rush you for an answer.
Okay.
We've only got a certain amount of time, Max. Okay. Come on.
Bowie hoodie.
There we go. Bowie hoodie. Brilliant. And just to round off, just give us a reminder of the opening times for Broomfields.
So the opening times for Broomfields, they have changed a bit. So on a Monday and Tuesday, the bar opens from 4 o'clock until 11. The kitchen hours for that will be 5 until 8.30 to grab some food. Then on a Wednesday, we open up at 9 o'clock and we close at 11 o'clock. Food again starts from 5 o'clock, finishes at 8.30. Same on a Thursday, same on a Friday. Saturday, it's a 9 a.m. Get a nice little full English. I love those, by the way.
It looks good.
They are good.
So good.
It looks good.
And even actually the buddies, I need to stop eating so much food from there. All my money's going straight back into Broomfields. But anyway, so 9 a.m. start, and then it is a 9 p.m. close, and food is 9 a.m. until 7. And then on a Sunday, we are a 9 a.m. start again. Food is again 9 a.m. and finishes at 4, and then the bar will close at 7.
Back to on-field matters now then, and some brilliant news to bring you that some of you may have already seen, so stay tuned for some exclusive interviews, the first of which is with skipper Byron Webster, who has signed a new contract at Hayes Lane. And Josh, it's brilliant news, isn't it? Byron's fantastic personality and a brilliant leader to have around the place.
Yeah, no, he's a good guy. I know he's looked up to a lot by the players, and I think it shows on the pitch. I know he talks to Kellen a lot on the pitch, and yeah, I mean he makes his presence known, and he's big for us. He scores goals, and defensively he's really good. And I know he's gone through his injury issues over the past month or two, but no, it's great news.
Good news doesn't stop there, Josh, does it?
It doesn't.
Jude Arthurs. I said earlier, if I had a singing voice, I could do a rendition.
Hey Jude.
I see you've got the bug there. There we go.
Well, we've got these buttons, and they load music. And I know on the first day we had stuff like that. But you know, it's been a busy day, and I just haven't got around to loading it up. So
well. There we go. But anyway, it's great news. Jude Arthurs signing a new contract. Yeah. Brilliant, promising young player.
He is, yeah. And the fact that he still is a young player, even though he's made 80, 90 appearances, I keep forgetting. I think
crazy
he's like
think.
25, 26. But
I remember when he was introduced in that under Neil Smith, and then you know, started to play under Andy Woodman towards the end of that COVID season, and really, you know, secured his place in the team. He scored goals. He's energetic. He's got a great attitude. You know, work ethic as well. And he sums up the DNA of the squad, I think, and what Andy Woodman wants to see in his squad. So absolutely brilliant bit of, well, two bits of brilliant news today, Josh. It's great to see.
Yeah. No, it is. I think it says a lot about the club when players commit their futures. And yeah, I mean, it's Jude sort of, he's grown up here, but like that doesn't stop you from not wanting to sign a new contract. He could have easily not. So I like it. It says a lot about the club that he still wants to be in. The same with Byron.
And they both see the future here at the football club, don't they? And that's something that they'll both say in their interviews, as we managed to have a brilliant sit down and chat and catch up with them earlier on. And here's what both of them had to say. Byron Webster, welcome to the Ravens Weekly podcast. We got some brilliant news today, and that is you've literally just signed a new contract with the club. How does it feel?
Yeah, I'm happy to get it signed. It's an easy process. Me and the chairman sit down with the manager and they tell me what I'm getting and I sign it. So, no, all joking aside, it was easy. My contract's now, you know, I want to be here. I want to play football for Bromley, help them progress, get into the Football League, and, yeah, do it this year, hopefully, and be another league player again next year.
I remember the day that you signed back in 2020, and here we are, 3 years on almost. How's that 3 years been for you?
It was a crazy time then, if I'm honest. I'd left Carlisle and I weren't bothered about football. I'd kind of, COVID had struck as well. So it was a weird time. And if I'm honest, looking back, I probably wouldn't have thought I'd be here now. I probably would have thought I'd have retired, if I'm honest. But I've loved every minute of it. The club's going in the right direction. It's progressing off the pitch. It's progressing on the pitch. And that's what I want to be part of. I don't want to come into football to a mundane place, be bored out of my head. I want a challenge, and Bromley is definitely a good challenge.
You came in during that COVID year, as you said, and I remember it very well. It was very, very strange. No supporters in the ground. So it was almost kind of like that first year was a bit out of the ordinary for you, wasn't it? And it wasn't until towards the end of that season or the next season that you were able to experience the fans, for example.
No, definitely. For all footballers, you know, across the leagues, it was weird. It was strange. A new player coming to, like you said, to Bromley, I never had that connection with the fans because obviously they weren't there. I'm not massively on social media, so I wasn't having much interaction with fans. But then when the fans come back and then we have the success on the pitch and then the FA Trophy final, you know, it's a good place. So the place has been buzzing.
That year, it ended off with fans coming back into the stadiums and actually Bromley getting into the playoffs, which you wouldn't have thought maybe a couple of months before that, but it was a terrific end to the season. How was it to be a part of that team? And obviously it ended, unfortunately, with defeat to Hartlepool, but great to reach the playoffs and hopefully we can use that going forward.
No, definitely. It's a good experience. Myself, I've been fortunate to be in playoff runs. For a lot of the lads, it was new. It was a new experience. But we all set targets every year as a club, as players. So it's not a surprise to us. The surprise is the massive teams that are in the league, Notts County or Wrexhams, obviously now. Even you look at like Southend, who are having trouble off the pitch. And Bromley isn't a big name. It's not a big pull. But we do expect things. We do set targets. We do have standards here. So getting into the playoffs, yeah, it might seem surprising for people away from the club, but inside the club, you know, it's not a surprise for us.
You talk about your move here from Carlisle and you talk about how much you've enjoyed it looking back. When you made that move, looking forward, you couldn't really have come from much further away. Geographically, in football terms, it's a big move. And obviously your family are still based up north as well. How's that been for you? How do you work around that?
When I was at Millwall, it was similar. My family were with me then. We lived in Keston. And the change is I've got children. So as a young player, we are selfish as footballers. You know, we travel up wherever the clubs are going. Your missus comes with you. With kids, it changes. You need to be settled in school. They need to be happy. And my kids were getting to the age where my daughter needed to be settled in school. I did think I was going to get a move back up north from Millwall, which didn't happen. So I put all my eggs in one basket to say to the family, look, you go up north. Hopefully I'll be up there in a few weeks, a month's time. That didn't happen. But I was fortunate that I had my family house there. My daughter was in school. My young boy at the time, he was going into nursery. And my wife had the family network around. So even though I'm not there all the time, look, I'm a regular on the train, as people might see on my Instagram. I love to snap. But my family, Katie's family help out, which takes pressure off me from being away. So far, touch wood, it's worked. But yeah, that's why you never know in football. Football's a crazy thing because I want to stay in football. So if I go into management, I don't know where that's going to go. And like I say, it's so hard to move your family everywhere you go because, especially as a manager, you never know whether you're going to be in a job one minute or the next.
100%. Well, you talk about your family there, and it's been brilliant to see them actually come down and watch you on a few occasions this season. They've been to some away games, but also they've been down here, which is really nice for you. I know you're a family man, and it must be really nice for you to look up into the stands and see them there.
Yeah, it is. It's crazy. My daughter's grown up with it, so she's seen me at like Millwall and Carlisle and blah, blah, blah. My boys only kind of realised at Carlisle a little bit. Millwall, he was too young. And then COVID struck, so for a year, 2 years, he never saw anything. So now when he comes to Bromley, he's buzzing, he loves it. He wants to be on the pitch. He thinks he can come in the change room with the lads. The odd time I brought him into training, and he thinks he's one of the boys. He loves it. But yeah, it's always been a big thing in my family, even with my brothers, my best mate. I always need to try and get him a shout out on a podcast or whatever it is, Robin. You know, we're all football mad. My mum and dad love it. They're taking us all over the world. My brother's in Australia, so literally all over the world, they fly over to see him to play games. So yeah, he's a massive part of our family.
And we talked about that big move geographically back down to Bromley, but actually you mentioned the fact that you were around here during your Millwall day. So really the Bromley community, if you like, is kind of a home from home for you, I guess.
No, definitely. The Glade Shopping Centre is a regular haunt for me.
Starbucks as well.
There you were, Starbucks. It is. It was easy for me to fit back in, because I knew the area. The people of Bromley, the fans of Bromley, they either have an alliance to Palace or Millwall. So a lot of Bromley fans, you know, are Millwall fans as well.
And talking of the fans, from day one, even though you couldn't see them right at the beginning, you had a good kind of a rapport with them, and you've become a fan's favourite very, very quickly, people watching on the streams. How would you describe your relationship with the Bromley supporters?
Yeah, good, positive. I'm very honest, whether it's on the pitch or off it. Maybe that can go against me sometimes, but I think the fans do see like just a straight guy. There's no rubbish from me. I don't try and act like I'm better than I am or whatever. I know what I'm good at, and I do that, and I have respect for everyone. Whoever it is, I will always, you know, be nice to them. But on the other hand, I'm not a mug. If someone's disrespectful to me, then you're done for. But that comes from my mum's side. My mum's very straight-laced. Show respect, but if someone doesn't show you respect, then they're gone. So that's how I live my life. And yeah, like you say, the Bromley fans have been fantastic to me. But it always helps when you're successful as a team. And fortunately, we have been. And you know, hopefully, this season, next season, we can go further as well.
You talk about the team. You are the skipper, the captain. How's it to lead that group of players?
It's brilliant. Like, at my age, I not that I've done everything I wanted to do in football, but I've done more than I thought I was going to. So when it comes to targets, I try and set myself one or two targets every year. And when I came to Bromley, it wasn't a target. The target was to enjoy football again, which I did. Then there was a turnover of players and I got asked to be captain. And then the next target was to captain at Wembley. So I ticked that off. I did think it'd be the playoffs. I didn't know about the FA Trophy. It's different targets now. It's not just about me. I have players coming up to me asking about my experience. How can I help them? There's a lot more to being a captain than I actually thought about. But I do enjoy it. Sometimes it's entertaining, I'll say. Crazy questions from young lads, you know, about how they can get into the first team and maybe a few other silly questions. But I do enjoy it. I enjoy the responsibility. And so far, I don't think it's taken away from how I've been playing. And as long as that continues, I'll be happy.
You talk about the guidance of the players, and that is in particular, I guess, the younger players. And Andy Woodman and yourself as a squad have really embraced the young talent that's in and around this club, talking the likes of Jude Arthurs, Kellen Fisher, Ben Crowhouse. It must be brilliant to see that talent coming through and actually slot into the first team seamlessly.
It is, yeah. Maybe because of boredom, I'm down here a lot, not much to do, but I go and watch a lot of the under-23s games. So it was probably a couple of years ago, I watched him in the FA Youth Cup and Ben Crowhouse came on. And he's one who's always caught my eye. I think he's a fantastic footballer and he will have a hell of a career. But yeah, the young boys, there's a lot of talent coming through. But once they get through to the first team, you're not a young boy then. And I look at young Kellen, you look at him and he does look like a young boy, but he's not. He's a first team player now. He's strong. He's tenacious. He wins his headers. He's good on the ball. He doesn't shy away from anything. He needs to talk a little bit more, but that will come as he gets older. But yeah, as soon as you get into the first team, it's not like, oh, I definitely don't. I don't look at him and go, oh, you're a young boy now. You know, you're there to do a job. And it's just proven with Kellen, Ben, Marcus, Jude, they've come in and they've done a job. So it's credit to Bromley. It's credit to them young boys that have taken that upon their shoulders.
We talk about the players when you came in, and one of them was Jack Holland, who left as a player at the end of that season. He's now back. How good is it to have him back in the building? And I'm sure you're fully aware he is a complete Bromley legend.
Yeah, he's good. It wasn't even strange. Luke Coulson's done it as well. You know, a lot of people love Bromley and they want to be involved in Bromley, and that's only good for the club. Jack's come in, you know, he knows his knowledge, and I think that's what helps as well. He's not come in as an ex-player, although he is an ex-player. He's come in as, you know, the head of sports science or performance, whatever it is, and he knows his stuff. It's not like he's learning on the job. Yeah, he actually knows what he's on about. So he has the respect straight away from the lads because he's been where we are. He knows what Bromley Football Club's about, but he also has the respect because he knows his stuff about his job as well now.
We've got to talk about Wembley and the lead up to that. And we talked about the young players a minute ago. They played such an important part in, let's start off there, they're such an important part in, you look at those first couple of games, yeah. There were so many young players in there, particularly that match away to Dover. I think there are only a couple of players over the age of 22 that day.
Cookie and Pats. Yeah. They let us forget that. Yeah, they told us that.
Yeah, but that's, they've played their part in that journey, haven't they?
Definitely, and I think you could see at the end of it, the manager was very good that the majority of them, or if not all of them, were on the pitch with us. Because I think the manager will own up to it, and I definitely will, that at the start of that competition, it's probably not looked down upon, but it's not a favourable competition. You're looking at the qualifying for the FA Cup, you know, the league, it's things like that. But then as soon as you get through a first, you know, the first, was it two or three games, it's like, oh, we can get to Wembley here. And then it becomes a bit serious. But yeah, if it wasn't for the young lads going in there and getting the experience and winning the games, then we wouldn't be lifting the trophy.
The semi-final at home to your former side, York City, that was a very special day, wasn't it? A fantastic crowd at Hayes Lane that day, and the feelings at the end, can you describe them?
Nah. Yeah, there's no word. I don't know. I can't think of anything. It's like when you lift the trophy as well, there's no emotion or feeling that you can compare it to. I think the York game was probably the only game where we were expected to win throughout the whole run. Like you said, the young boys were playing, so it wasn't like they were expected to win. If they win, it's good experience, blah, blah, blah. But the York game, there was a bit of pressure on us. And we went 1-0 down early doors, I think it was. But then we get the fire in our belly and we get on and we get the result.
Wembley, let's touch on that now, and we can't not talk about it. There's a brilliant photo of you right at the end of the game. You can see the emotion and actually what it meant to you. That must have been one of the highlights. I know you've had plenty of brilliant victories and wins in your career, but that must have been up there as well.
No, definitely. My dad actually asked me probably 2 weeks after the final which final I enjoyed the most. And for each one at Yeovil, Millwall and Bromley, they all had different feelings. The Yeovil one was like, it's your first one. So, wow, I never expected to play at Wembley. The Millwall one was, wow, this could be life-changing. And then the Bromley one was, I'm going to be the one who lifts the trophy first. And that feeling, even now it gives me goosebumps. It was an amazing feeling that I've led our boys, because Cheeky scored and there's loads of other people's and the gaffer's there and the chairman, but yeah, I was there. I helped the boys. I led us there, and it was a proud moment for myself.
And the game on the day, obviously going into it massively as underdogs, yeah. Do you feel that helped us on the day?
It does, but Wrexham deal with pressure. They're a big club, you know. They've got the finances, they've got the Netflix and or whatever it is, and blah, blah, blah. So credit to them as a players and clubs that they're able to do that, because a lot of clubs wouldn't be able to do it. But I just knew there was too much. There was too much going on behind the scenes. The fans wouldn't even see it down the tunnel beforehand in the change room. They've got cameras everywhere. It was a bit of a like a circus kind of thing for them. But they must be used to that. So if that's what they need to do, that's what they do. But yeah, it was very theatrical. All of them. I don't know what the right words are, so I'm not going to get myself into trouble. But it was all about them. The show was about them. There was no pressure on us, and we knew what we need to do. It proves with the games we played against, like just in the league as well. They have a style of play, we have a style of play, and we know how to nullify them. And that all the games have been very close against Wrexham.
When that goal went in from Michael Cheek, what a moment as well.
Yeah, very, very good. Like I said, I've been fortunate to play with a lot of good strikers, a lot of goal scorers, and Cheek is definitely up there. And you know, it never gets spoken about, but Corey going through, for him to have the vision to square it for Cheeky is massive, because a lot of people on the big stage would have gone themselves. So fair play to Corey for squaring it, and then yeah, Cheeky there, he's never going to miss.
I don't know about you, but that 7 minutes of injury time at the end felt like 7 years.
I enjoy it. I'm a weirdo. Like, I have a little thing on the pitch where if there is extra time or we're under the cosh a little bit, I'll be like, just smile, enjoy it. And I remember that time I had bad cramp, my calves had completely gone that day. And little Harry looks around at me and goes, Skip, just smile, enjoy it. And the little smile, it comes to my face, and little things like that you remember. And I just thought, yeah, you cheeky little get, well done, well done. You've got me back in the zone. So, yeah, it's an enjoyable thing. I'm a defender. If you don't enjoy defending, then you know, you're in the wrong business. But yeah, the 7 minutes did go on a bit longer than I wanted.
At the final whistle, the emotion from the players, the fans, the staff was truly, truly special. For me, as a Bromley fan for over 10 years, it's certainly the best moment I've ever experienced. It just truly special. I don't know how you describe it.
Like I said before, I don't think you can. Because, I touched on it earlier, us as footballers, we are selfish people, whether it's like staying away from family or you can't go, I don't know, to a wedding because you need to concentrate because you've got a game on the Saturday. We sacrifice and we are selfish. When you see the emotion of the fans and your family that have also had to sacrifice and miss out on things, that's the thing that I think is special now. Maybe it's because I'm getting older and blah, blah, blah. But yeah, you look up at the fan, look up in the crowd and your family are emotional. The fans are there. They're all screaming. Like, the most chilled person has absolutely lost the red. They're in their own world, their own zone. And I think it just proved with the reaction afterwards when we did the open bus tour, where people came down to the stadium to see the trophy. The open bus tour was the best surprise I've ever experienced, because I didn't think anyone would turn up, if I'm honest. I didn't expect many to be there. And the reception we got all the way from here to the Glade Shopping Centre, and the amount of people in the Glade Shopping Centre, was very overwhelming.
It was. I was just going to touch on that, actually. Not only you lifted the trophy there, but you brought it back to the Bromley community. And I think really before, during and after the game, the whole community, the whole town, the whole borough of Bromley was behind us, and they were brilliant.
They were, yeah. But because we're in our own bubble as a football, the gaffer did very well of making sure we wasn't distracted by anything. So we didn't see any of that. And that's why I'm saying I was surprised and shocked by the amount of people that turned up, because you go in your own world and you just concentrate Wrexham, 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 Wrexham. That's a game we had to concentrate on for week, 2 week or whatever it was. So to see it afterwards and to see the fans and the mayor come out, and it was a very, very good experience.
Well, one that will live long in the memory for sure. Moving on then to this season, we're in March now, towards the, we keep saying it, the business, the crunch end of the season. How have you seen the season so far?
It's going well. We're not far off it. I think we have expectation now at Bromley. We've done well in the trophy. We've got to the playoffs with the manager. So now it's expected Bromley should be doing this, Bromley should be doing that. People see what happens behind the scenes. The new bar, the facilities are fantastic. But there also needs to be a bit of, realism, maybe being realistic. Bromley is still punching above the weight. This isn't an excuse to say we shouldn't be doing this, because we have fantastic football players. The way the club have recruited and the players we have, we should be in the playoffs, and we will be in the playoffs. But there's going to be ups and downs. It's a young squad. Things happen. It's a long, long season. And I look at it, if We were beating Notts County. We then draw with them last minute. Wrexham score last minute to equalise at their game. So we're looking at our Bromley, how it's twists and turns. It happens everywhere. Notts County could have been, if they'd have beaten us, they could have been 3 points ahead of Wrexham. Now they're 3 points behind. There's going to be twists and turns throughout the whole season. And I just think that as a club, we need to stay, I say to the chairman and to everyone, to the boys, emotionless. Don't be too high, don't be too low. Just stay level. All we can do is win football matches. And we will lose some, like we did against York. And we will win some. But I do believe when the final whistle goes at the end of April, the last game of the season, we will be in the playoffs.
You're a player who's played in the Championship, League One, League Two, various other leagues as well. How have you found the National League? Do you feel it gets the credit it deserves?
No, it definitely doesn't. And even probably myself, before I joined Bromley, looking outside, I wouldn't give it credit either. But if you look at the teams now in the National League, there's not many that haven't been league teams. And while playing in League Two, there's no difference at all from League Two football to conference football. And I think that proves when you see teams that come out of the conference, not many of them come straight back down. They usually stay up and or even progress again. So, yeah, it definitely doesn't get the credit. And I think it's proven, yeah, a few clubs are throwing silly money around, so that will attract bigger players. But a lot of players are realising now it's a good league. And if you do well in this league, especially if you're a young lad, you can progress and propel yourself up the leagues.
We refer a minute ago to us coming up to a crucial stage now in this season. The fans will be as important as ever. What's your message to them having signed your new deal today?
Just stay positive with us. The manager has a saying, don't he? Bumps in the road. There will be plenty of bumps in the road, but we're in a good place. Behind the scenes, you know, the lads are happy. They're working hard. You know, Dunny, the gaffer, Steve, Brannan, they're not letting us ease off. You know, they're demanding from us every day, and that's what we need. We need even the fans, everyone, to demand more from the players, demand more from the club, because it's the only way we're going to progress.
And finally, you're not the only player to have signed a new deal over the past couple of days. Jude Arthurs has also done so. How's it been working with him?
Jude's a fantastic young man. He's a good player. He works his chuckies off. And he's another one. There's a lot of young lads who... Jude, you can't even class him as a young lad now because he must have made near on 100 appearances, is it? So he's learnt his trade now. So now he'll be looking at Kellen and Ben Crowhouse to help them, which is crazy because Jude will be 21, 22, is he? So it's credit to him, like I say. And I it's crazy as a Bromley player, and probably the fans don't want to hear this, but I hope the young lads have aspirations to propel themselves and to go on to greater things. But they only do that by doing well for Bromley. So they do well, that means Bromley does well. So I'd like that to be the recipe at the club, where get the young lads in, hopefully they do well, and then, which in kind, helps Bromley go up the league, and then hopefully Bromley can make a few quid on them as well.
Byron, it's always wonderfully insightful catching up with you. Thank you so much for your time, and congratulations on the new deal.
Thank you very much.
Jude, welcome to the podcast. We've got some really good news, and that is that you've signed a new contract. How does it feel?
Yeah, no, obviously I'm delighted to have signed and extended my stay here. You know, it's a club going places, so I'm over the moon, to be fair.
And your performances when you've been in the team this season have been really, really strong. You're looking fitter than ever as well. How have you been feeling about your own showings?
Yeah, no, obviously when I've been in and been picked, I felt like I've done well, helped the boys out. Chipped in a couple times with a few goals. I just want to just keep playing, just keep getting in the team and keep giving the gaffer a bit of headache to try and pick me.
And all of the fans will obviously know you, but they won't necessarily know your story about how you've come through the ranks here. Do you want to share a bit about that with us?
Yeah, no. So I don't know how long I've been here now, about 3 years, 4 years. Come through, started off with Danny Mills in the 23s. Sort of worked my way into the first team under the last gaffer Smudge, and then since the new gaffer's come in, I've sort of just kicked on and just sort of stayed in and around it. So yeah, that's sort of my story really. I'm one of the last ones left, to be fair.
I remember when you first started playing, you played as right back, didn't you, actually, and then kind of started to play in midfield, having played midfield for the 23s before that. Yeah. Are those two of your most comfortable positions? Which do you prefer? We've seen you really playing midfield for a majority of the time under Andy Woodman?
Yeah, no. Well, my first position, yeah, definitely for me is centre midfield. But obviously, listen, if I can play anywhere and help the team, then I'll do that. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, no, I don't mind playing right back or wing back as it's been of late. But yeah, no, definitely centre midfield's my sort of go-to position.
And how have you found working under Andy Woodman, obviously, during that COVID season? Yeah. As you mentioned there, he put his trust in young players. He's always done that, and it's been highlighted by Kellen and Ben as well. But actually, you and Liam Vincent were two of the first examples of that.
Yeah, no, me and Liam were the two sort of ones that come through as soon as he come through the door, really. So, yeah, no, you got to give credit to the gaffer, because not a lot of gaffers probably would have put in two young kids at that age, and even looking now with Ben and Kellen, with little experience, chucking us straight into starting games, bringing us on in big games, do you know what I mean? So you've got to give all credit to the management team for sort of putting their trust in young players, and obviously it does pay off.
We talked about your first sort of few appearances. Your debut was during that COVID season in the first team, playing in front of no fans. Mm. Must have been a strange experience, and then to just jump into playing in front of big crowds. How's that been for you as a young player?
Yeah, no, it was a strange experience with no one there, like literally no one there. But yeah, obviously, I prefer playing in front of a crowd. Like the atmosphere recently, yeah, I think it's been really top draw. It's sort of it does help the boys push on and try and get that extra sort of man with us. Do you know what I mean? So, listen, if all the fans can get behind us still till the end of the season, we've got a big push now. So, I think it'll definitely help.
When you first came in, the facilities, we always talk about this, but particularly with yourself as someone that's been here for a handful of years, were quite different to what they are now. You've just joined us on this podcast now, having had a gym session on site, which a few years back, you'd never have dreamed you'd be doing.
I know, yeah. The change has really been mad, to be fair, since obviously when I first come here. I think there's only me, a couple of us really, me, Cheeks, Bill, that have sort of stuck around and seen the change. So yeah, no, listen, the facilities here are fantastic, and like you're saying, the gym's on site, everything else is on site. Like before, we used to have to go over to Nuffield and whatnot and go find other places to go to the gym and use that sort of stuff. So listen, you've got to give credit where credit's due. Like the facilities here are really, really good, especially for this level and the levels above as well.
We've always had a history of having tight-knit squads here and brilliant dressing rooms. How does this year's dressing room compare?
Yeah, no, listen, I think all the boys would say, like, it's a really, really good group, and has been over the past sort of few years. There's no one that's sort of out of the group, or everyone's a really tight-knit group, and I think that's down to some of the older pros keeping everyone sort of together, like making sure everyone's sort of mates and knitted together, and it shows on the pitch, to be fair.
Clearly, there's ambition for the club off the pitch, as we just alluded to there. There's ambition on it. It's a good time to be involved, isn't it?
Yeah, no, definitely. That's another big factor that played in me staying here. You know, obviously, you can see, from the outside looking in, you can see what's going on here. And obviously, from the inside, you know what's going on here as well, because everyone's got big aspirations of obviously trying to get into the league and different sort of stuff like that. So, yeah, no, it's definitely a big project going on here.
The attendances have crept up quite a bit this season. It's been brilliant to see, particularly the younger fans getting the autograph signed after the game. And it's something that you're always involved with, and you're always happy to do.
Yeah, no, listen, all the players are. We do really appreciate all the fans coming out. Like even the other night on a Tuesday night, I think there was near on 2,000 there. So it does help the boys, especially when we're trying to dig for that goal, or we're trying to dig in and keep clean sheets, you know, in that last sort of 10-15 minutes. It really does help us, the fans being there and cheering us on. So yeah, and hopefully that can continue.
We're at the business end of the season now. What are your aims for the rest of the campaign?
Yeah, no, I think our aims have stayed the same. Obviously we're in and around the playoffs, so we're looking to push into that really. I don't think that's changed throughout the season, to be fair. So listen, hopefully we've got a big 12 or 13 game, something like that. So Hopefully we can give it a right good go.
Well, Jude, it's great to have you on the podcast. Just before we finish, you're another player that's coming, and you like the setup we've got here.
Yeah, nice. It's very good. It's unreal, to be fair. Credit to like the media team and whatnot. It's going places. So yeah, no, really good.
Well, thanks for that, Jude. It's great to catch up, and congratulations on the new deal.
Perfect, mate. Thank you.
And of course, no first team fixture for the Ravens this Saturday, the 11th of March. But the attention quickly turns to the long trip to FC Halifax Town this coming Tuesday, the 14th of March, 7:45 kickoff of that one. They're currently sat 16th in the National League table on 42 points. Pretty disappointing season for them so far. It was a 1-1 draw at Hayes Lane earlier in November when we debuted our third kit on that day and wore the third kit home for one of two matches this season that we've done that in. They're away to Aldershot Town in the FA Trophy this weekend. And of course, Bromley do not have a fixture, so we'll have a weekend of training going into that match on Tuesday. Now, we broke the mould a little bit this week and we caught up with first team coach Steve Aris for his thoughts on this fixture and a number of other things. And here's what Steve had to say. Steve Aris, welcome to the podcast. Great to have you on with us this afternoon. Let's talk about the past two games then. We'll start with Saturday's visit of Notts County to Hayes Lane. A 1-1 draw in the end, but so close to all 3 points on the day.
Yeah, a little bit gutting really. Really good performance, really good team effort. This is Notts County, there's no lie. They're a fantastic side. They're a fantastic footballing team. They've got really good players. But we can't have a plan, we can't have a way. We've done it away from home. We tried it again at home and it really worked. First half, I thought we looked really, really threatening. They did have a few chances, but so did we. We contained them and then we threatened. Second half, we was clinging on just a little. But if anyone would have took a point before the game, we would have gone, yeah, brilliant, that's great. But just the way it happened, it just left a little bit of a sour note with us and the boys that all the effort we put in, we didn't come away with 3 points in just the one.
For me, that whole display really epitomised what Andy calls the DNA of the squad, and they really putting their bodies on the line, weren't they? Look at players like Adam Marriott as well, who had the first penalty saved and then dusted himself down, scored the second one, and it was just so gutting, like you say. Just one ball at the end has led to the equaliser in the dying moment.
Yeah, it just shows what we're all about. To be fair to Mazza, after the first one, we got the second one directly after, and he had no hesitation. He went and got the ball and said, yeah, this is for me, I'll take it. But yes, it's what we aim for, and our players, they're all there. We all ask for maximum effort whenever they step over the pitch, give everything they've got. With the ability and quality that we have, we're sure that we will get results as the season proves that. But Saturday was just a frustrating one, like I say, to come away with just a point after having, like, obviously, Mazza missing the first one and the second one. If we'd gone 2-0, I'm sure we would have seen it out. But just to hang on to one goal against a team like Notts County is a real hard effort. Like you see, second half, we was back to the wall, we got deeper and deeper. But we did contain. We changed shape slightly again just to force him a little bit wider so they were crossing and not getting into our area. So, yeah, a really good effort, but just shows what we're all about, hard work, determination, and don't give all things away too easily.
Absolutely. Moving on to Tuesday then, and unfortunately not such a positive night on that occasion. A bit of a bizarre incident at the end of the first half, and after that it's a mountain to climb.
Yeah, really frustrating. We found it difficult first half to get to max into get the intensity as we did after as Notts County. York come and just frustrated us, sat in and just tried really done to us what we'd done to Notts County. They tried frustrating us. We just couldn't find a way through. It was a little bit lacklustre, a little bit slow in our tempo. And then obviously the incident just for half time, it's really set a negative throughout us, and to lose your goalkeeper and then going down to 10 men, it's a real uphill battle for them, and we struggled a little bit second half, to be fair.
To be fair though, obviously an outfield player in goal, that the two goals, actually the penalty as well. I don't think many goalkeepers would be saving them, to be fair.
Definitely not. We look back at the game and watch the goals. Like, their goals, I don't think, if Cookie's in goal, I don't think he saves them. They're like great finishes and great attempts. Listen, second half, the start of the first, second half, we actually done all right. We was building up a little bit of tempo. We created a few chances, but never. We always knew if they had a shot on target, there was a chance that it was going to go in. Obviously, Bez done his best and tried his hardest to go and goal and do the job for us, but whether not a natural goalkeeper's in goal, and the standard of this league and the standard of the players, if something hits the target with quality, is going in the back of the net.
And usually after a result like that, you want to bounce back at the earliest opportunity. Slightly frustrating then that there's no game this Saturday, i.e. tomorrow, as we're recording this on a Friday, and instead we've got to wait to the long trip to FC Halifax Town on Tuesday.
Yeah, you look at it both ways. You say that to get back on and to play straight away, that's what you want. But looking at our schedule and the games we've had to play and the travelling we've done, sometimes to have a little bit of a break, reset and re-go again might have come at a good time for us. Yeah, the boys will have a day off and then come in over the weekend. We'll train hard, we'll prep hard, and we'll go to Halifax with now knowing that we've got to go to every game and get 3 points. We have to go attack every game, go for every game, and go for the wins, because only wins are going to get us in the playoffs from now.
We've had some good news today, and that is that Jude Arthurs has signed a new contract, and Jude's a player, obviously, that you've worked with over the past few years and a great young talent.
Yeah, Jude epitomises everything that we are, really. He's hardworking. We said it earlier in our DNA. He gives everything, his attitude in training, his attitude to games, his acceptance of what he is and how he goes about his stuff and what he is to this club. And thankfully today he's agreed and signed a new deal that he will be here for a while. So yeah, it's really good news, really good age. When you think of Jude, everyone thinks of him now and he's creeping on a little bit and he's getting old, but he's still very, very young. He's still very young, still a baby. And he's got around 80, 90 games in the National League, which a kid at that age is brilliant. So yeah, real good signing for the club.
It's brilliant to see. Another bit of good news is that the skipper is also staying on, and someone that is adored by the fans and everyone around the club, really. He's a great role model for the younger players and just a great captain.
He just keeps going and going. He's super. Like after Wembley win last year, persuaded him to stay for another year. And he's just shown, he epitomises everything we are as a coaching setup and a management into the players. He's that link between the two of us. He's great with the boys. He's great with us. If there's anything we need to get through to the boys, he makes sure the standards is right. You can see the group of lads, they look up to him. He sets examples of how they've been. He's been around, he's done it, he knows. And he's a real big character and a real big leader in this group. And to have him for another year, people say about age, but he's got the know-how, he's got the experience. I know at the minute he is injured, it goes against what I'm saying a little, but he's out there constantly. He's on the training pitch, he plays, and he just keeps going and going and going. So, yeah, that's a real big signing for the club. He's been fantastic for this club over the years. So, yeah, we have him for another year, which is just fantastic.
Finally then, business end of the season now, as we keep saying. A lot of important games coming up. It's crunch time, isn't it?
Thick or fast. Yes, all about us. We know now that we need to win as many games as we can if we got the chance to get into the playoffs. Like, obviously, disappointment on Tuesday night, but we got back into the changing room, looked at scores and results of other elsewhere, and we've gone, actually, we're still in there. There was a few teams lost. So, yeah, it's all about us. We've really got cup finals now. Win them all. Aim to go and improve, attack team, get at team, and if we can creep in there and get in there, I don't think many teams are fancy coming to Hayes Lane if we get in the playoffs. So, like, listen, let's take one game at a time and let's build and build and build. But if we can go on a nice little run now to get us through to the end of the season, then fingers crossed we can creep in there.
Well, Steve, it's always a pleasure to catch up with you. Thank you so much for joining us on
Brilliant.
The podcast
Thank you.
Today.
No problem. Cheers, Matt.
Just before we finish on this instalment of Ravens Weekly, we've got some more news to bring you from around the playing squad. And we are delighted that James Vennings has received an England C call-up to the 25-man provisional squad against Wales later this month. That's to be played at Moss Lane, the home of Altrincham FC, where, of course, James Vennings played just last month. So congratulations to James, and we look forward to seeing his progress in that. And not the first time that we've had an England C player called up, but it was always as delighting every time.
Michael Cheek last year.
Yeah, Michael Cheek, Jack Holland Cheek, in the past as well. Absolutely fantastic. Yeah. So congratulations to James Vennings.
Yeah, and moving on to our loan watch, we had one of our players score on Tuesday night, and that was Dave Smith for Hastings United. He rounded the keeper before slotting home against Enfield. They drew 1-1. And Dave Smith was also on my Twitter yesterday.
He was on the Champions League Twitter, wasn't he? With Tomori.
Mental, he was enjoying that.
Incredible. Well, he certainly looked like he was enjoying himself. He looked buzzing, to be fair. But that picture's gone all over the world. So again, Bromley FC are just global, aren't we?
We are, yeah.
And our players.
We're doing the rounds. What was I going to say now? Oh, yeah. You may have seen this morning that Mitchell Bergkamp was on Sky Sports News. We had Sky Sports come in on Monday to do an interview with Mitchell. And it was a good day. I know you were there as well, Matt. Mm.
Came out really well, didn't it?
Yeah, it was good. They were very complimentary about us as well. They were sort of saying that most of the Premier League clubs they go to, they're not as welcoming as us. And yeah, it was good. Obviously, we have BT Sport being in the National League, so it's a very, very different experience having Sky here. But yeah, no, it went well. Mitchell speaks well, and yeah, it was good.
Oh, he does speak so well, doesn't he? And he was on the podcast just a couple of episodes ago and spoke so well on here as well. And that was, of course, his first interview here, wasn't it? And actually his first interview in general after joining Bromley. And it was a real pleasure to sit down with him and go back and listen to that episode if you haven't already. And, of course, big thank you to Sky Sports for featuring us.
And one more thing before we go. For those who want their football fix this weekend, our Bromley women are at home on Sunday. They're playing Eastbourne United and they're currently on a good run at the minute. So they'll be hoping to keep that up and tickets are free. So brilliant. You do have to register online though. So head over to the website, bromleyfc.co.uk to register your free ticket. But I know it sort of rounds off our International Women's Day celebration as well. And I know Andrea touched on that earlier, but that's 3 p.m. kickoff. Broomfields will be open as well. Football will be on and yeah, should be good. Just hopefully it doesn't rain. And
yes, like you say, Josh, the Bromley women have been on a good run and we hope that run continues this coming Sunday. If you are around, get on down and get behind the team. It's a 3 o'clock kickoff and I'm sure an enjoyable game as well. Just a final rallying call then. The tickets for Bromley versus Wrexham Saturday the 18th of March in the Vanarama National League are on sale. General sale has started now. Do head over to the website and get your tickets and hashtag pack the lane. It's going to be a busy afternoon, isn't it, Josh?
Yes, it is.
On all fronts. And we hope for a good game of football. I'm sure we're going to get one. Usually matches between Bromley and Wrexham are entertaining. And I'm sure this one will be no exception.
Especially that one at Wembley. Yeah, I quite like that one.
It's funny you mentioned that one.
That was decent, wasn't it?
Yeah, that is the one that springs to mind. But plenty of other great encounters over the years as well.
Good celebrations then as well.
But that's it from us. We hope to see you at Hayes Lane next Saturday, the 18th of March, and of course with the Bromley women on Sunday. But thank you very much once again for listening to us this afternoon. Josh, thank you for joining me as well.
Pleasure.
And of course, big shout out to everyone who's tuned in wherever you are across the world. We know we're global now, don't we? And we'll be back with you next week for another instalment of Ravens Weekly. But for now, it's goodbye and take care. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me. And that's the town where I come from.